This is podcast number 185 for the well-educated mother's heart. Hi, I'm Marlene Peterson, and today I'm talking about the art of storytelling. The discovery of the story is probably the single most important discovery of all my work. I had been studying principles of education for some time when, in the middle of the night, I sat up in bed and said to my husband, "It's story." It was my eureka moment. The key to everything was story, which may sound so simple, but do you know what? I didn't even really know what a story was back then. But I do now, and I cannot begin to describe the change that would come to our world if just one generation of mothers was able to put down the books and become storytellers. When I first started doing presentations 10 years ago or so, I taught on the subject of restoring the art of storytelling in the home. I had stumbled upon a book, The Use of Story in Religious Education by Margaret Eggleston, and from there I learned about the revival in the art of storytelling that took place in the early 1900s, especially among mothers. I dug up every book I could find written in that era to help mothers learn the art. There were about 25 books I found. I read and I underlined every single one of them, and it was these storytellers who introduced me to all the other heart educators of the day, and it is these mentors who have taught me the things that I share with you. They taught with the great storehouse of classical and folklore stories within easy reach, stories of brave deeds well done, of self-sacrifice, of love and duty and other high ideals. The mind of the child is easily guided into channels of right thinking, and if mothers only realized it more fully, it is in their power through the medium of these stories to fill the little mind with ideals, which will have a most important bearing through life in the development of character. Through the simple art of storytelling, the mother possessed the key to the hidden nature of the child if she could only be made to appreciate and understand the value of the story influence. Close quote. I compiled the highlights of what I learned from these original storytellers in a book called Restoring the Art of Storytelling in the Home, and I included a collection of their stories, mostly classic stories, that were given to the mothers in that day to practice the art. By the way, a free digital copy of the book can be found on the Forgotten Classics page, or you can order it, or it's one of the free gifts to our subscribers. At the back of the book, I listed all the books I learned from, and you can read them yourself if you want in Internet Archive. I still love to go back and peruse their writings, and they continue to teach me. But I discovered that, even though telling a story by heart is one of the most powerful tools you have to shape the character and souls of your children, it was too big of a leap for mothers in this generation. I came to see for myself how terribly story-depleted we are as a people, how academically minded we are, how undeveloped our imaginations are, how our very personalities have been stunted by neglect. And so the focus of my work shifted, and I've been working on trying to fill up reservoirs of stories so that they can begin to be in hearts to be told. I'm so excited to now start to see mothers who are catching on, who are discovering the difference between reading a story, which still has value, but between reading a story and putting the book down and telling a story by heart. I hope that their enthusiasm will spread, that maybe some of your Mothers of Influence groups will decide to take storytelling on as one of your focuses of study in a much bigger way, and that you will find ways to take your talents out into the community and to be a voice of influence through your stories. Story clubs were formed in this revival in storytelling 100 years ago for the purpose of practicing and perfecting the art. You can do the same. I think few understand the benefit it will have on our own lives. Let me share an article from one of the storytelling magazines of that time. The article is called "The Psychotherapeutic Value of Storytelling" by Frances E. Foote. The storytelling movement is growing with such gigantic strides that a magazine which will keep the missionaries in this movement in touch with one another seems most desirable, if not absolutely necessary. Many writers have voiced many opinions as to the benefits to be derived from the exercise of the art of storytelling, but there is one which I have never seen in black and white, about which I feel impelled to write. It is the psychotherapeutic value of storytelling. Pain is a real thing and will hold us in his clutches and claim all our attention if allowed to do so. Sorrow is absorbing and will bow our heads and break our spirits if unhindered. Upon what, then, may we concentrate our attention that pain may grow weary of pressing his claim? With what may we so absorb our minds that sorrow will fade away? One of the fundamental principles of storytelling is that the oral interpreter of literature must so vividly see the pictures described in the story that he will cause his hearers to feel that they, too, see. He must feel the impulses and emotions of the characters in the story so truly that the hearts of his hearers will thrill with the same feeling. Since this is true, that the mind must be absorbed in the distant scenes of storyland, pain, in due course of time, must grow tired of urging his claim and will ultimately depart. The emotions dominant in stories which we tell are altruistic for the most part. We prefer to dwell upon themes in which evil is overcome by good, those in which sorrow flees away and joy comes with the morning. Isn't it true that the person who, day after day, creates these altruistic emotions in the hearts of his hearers will find his sorrow, deep-seated though it may be, growing dimmer day by day as he brightens the lives of his hearers? There are many cases which I could give you to prove my point. One of a little child with spinal trouble who was treated by a great surgeon. He would call upon her 2 or 3 days out of the week, and each time tell her a story. He required her, meanwhile, to make up similar stories. For instance, he would tell her the story of Little Green Cap. Then he would say, "Now, by Tuesday, I want you to have a story ready for me. It must be about a poor little girl, a princess, and a magic ring." So absorbed did the child become in such work that the pain in the poor little back grew less and less insistent, until she ceased to be an invalid and was able to attend school. She was one of the happiest children I ever knew. She said she didn't mind the pain anymore. She had such lovely things to think about. Another was the case of a young woman upon whom sorrow laid a heavy hand. Prostrated by grief, she lay for several days in a darkened room. Then, rousing herself, she went to a hospital and secured permission from the superintendent to visit daily the friendless patients who seemed lonely. For months, she reported daily to the superintendent, was given directions as to which patients to visit, and for 3 hours she would go from one to the other, telling humorous stories. The morning hours she spent hunting for artistic, mirth-provoking stories, and her afternoons in bringing smiles to sad faces. The result was inevitable. People everywhere welcomed her as a ray of sunshine. One more case, that of a young woman who, while making a brave struggle to recover from one serious operation, suddenly found herself facing another even more serious. With nerves racked by persistent pain, courage well nigh gone, pursued by that dread foe insomnia, she turned to her one accomplishment, storytelling. Though able to sit up but a few hours at a time, she held large audiences in many cities 2 or 3 times a week until she once more went under the knife. Then, within 2 months, she was on the platform again, bringing herself back to health by compelling her mind to dwell in storyland. I knew all the particulars of this case, the physical torture she endured for 2 years, the struggle she made to live, and knowing what I do, forces me to believe that if storytelling did not save her life, it certainly saved her reason. It is a law of life that the only thing which we may always keep is the thing we give. If then the prime function of storytelling is the giving of joy, then joy is the thing which the storyteller may have. To those who travail and are heavy laden, I commend the art of storytelling. And I'll just repeat that last line. It is a law of life that the only thing which we may always keep is the thing we give. If then the prime function of storytelling is the giving of joy, then joy is the thing which the storyteller may have. To those who travail and are heavy laden, I also commend the art of storytelling. Bye-bye. See you next time.